For those of you who are expecting Zeke this morning, he's taking a little vacation at the end of the year to be with his family, and we were okay with that. The idea of this time of the year being time for families to be together is a blessing and a curse, I guess you could say, because that's when, with this virus we have going around, that's when it spreads. And that's part of the issue we're having with scheduling services. But we're glad we were able to meet today. We'll let you know about the rest of the week and next Sunday. We plan to meet again next Sunday. I'm not sure about Wednesday night, but at this point, that's where we are. But as we come to the close of 2020, which I think every one of us will agree, we're glad to close it out. I got to thinking about 2 Corinthians, the verse there that's on the board. 2 Corinthians 13. Paul writing there says, "Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? And as indeed you fail the test." The idea of taking a test sends panic to some people. For those who are high school students, sometimes it is a panic moment because you haven't prepared. For college students, it's probably always a panic moment because you try to prepare, but you don't always be prepared as much as you should be. We could spend a whole sermon based on just on this verse, but we're going to get our main text from another passage of Scripture. This is an individual test today. It's an open book test, that book being the Holy Bible. It's not our final test, because that will come on the Day of Judgment. Our questions for us to take this test, you already see them on the board, but are going to come from Genesis chapter 3. Let's turn there. You know, these are the first questions. Think about this. These are the first questions that God asked. The beginning of the chapter, chapter 3, tells us the fall of man. The serpent tempts Eve. She succumbs to the serpent. She gives it to Adam. He succumbs to that too. We're going to pick up our reading in verse 7 at this point. "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' The man said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself.' Then God asked another question, and he said, 'Who told you that you were naked?' And he asked another question, 'Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?' Then the man said, 'The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate.' Then the Lord God said to this woman, 'What is this you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.'" The question today, or the three questions really we want to emphasize today: where are you? Who told you? What is this you have done? God not only asked those questions here in chapter 3 to Adam and Eve, but he asked those questions every day to you and I. What's going to be our answer? When God asked Adam, "Where are you?" or Adam and Eve, because they were both together, because they hid themselves together, God knew the answer, but he wanted Adam to answer that question. Adam's reply was, "I heard your voice." He recognized God. "I was afraid." He knew the authority that voice carried. because I was naked and I hid myself. He was ashamed that he was naked. Again, so many lessons that we could take from just this part right here. We're going to emphasize some other things today. We need to be ashamed of our nakedness. That's one of the things. I just have to mention that. Then God asked that next question. Who told you you were naked? Did God tell them they were naked? No. Who told you were naked? And then the next question, who told you it was okay, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, it was okay to eat of the tree, which I told you not to? Who told you that? And of course, the excuse is, the woman. You can see Adam throwing up his hands, the woman, you know. You gave her to me. She gave me of the tree and I ate. So he goes to Eve. What is this you have done? Eve's answer, the serpent. The serpent you created, Lord. The serpent you created deceived me and I ate. Okay, which one of these excuses do you want to use when God asks you these questions? Or you want to make them for your own? You want to stand on your own and have your own excuse? That's what we do. When God asks us these questions, that's what we do. We make up our own excuses. We think that we can blame somebody else for what we did wrong or for what we didn't do that we should have. And it's okay. When Eve mentioned the fact when the devil had tempted her, and Eve mentioned the things there, in verse 6, we didn't read that. We're going to read it now. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a light to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from it the fruit. She took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. The verse that reminds us of that in the New Testament is 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, where he says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, to make it wise, the lust of the eyes, is good for food, and the pride of life, can make us smart, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Paul, in chapter 2 of Romans, began that chapter with saying, "Therefore, you are without excuse, O man." And I know the context will tell us a little different story, but I think the idea that Paul's conveying there is the same thing that God is conveying here to us in chapter 3 and to us every day. We have no excuse. We can make up a story. We can blame this person or that person or somebody else, or, you know, but we never blame ourselves. We never own our failures. The world has taught us that. And we as Christians have come to accept that. But the problem is, God has never, ever accepted excuses. You can't find it in the Bible. You cannot find it. He does not accept excuses. When we look at the excuse that Adam gave, he blamed the woman and he blamed God. But we know man is to be the head of the household. He could have said no, couldn't he? When Eve offered to him, he said, "No, we can't eat of that fruit. That's from the tree of knowledge. God told us not to." But what did Adam do? "Okay, whatever you say. I'm fine with that." He was not the man of God that he needed to be. Eve knew what God had said. But she believed the lie. So many of us believe the lie. Well, I saw it on the internet, so it must be true. Or I saw it on Facebook, so it must be true. You have believed the lie, just like Eve did. That's not God telling you what to do. That's the devil telling you what to do, just like he did Eve. Men and ladies, you can turn to. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy. Ladies, we're going to get to you in a minute. I started with the men because this is a lesson for me, most important. 1 Timothy. First Timothy 10, chapter 6, starting in verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But flee from these things, you man of God. Pursue righteousness and godliness and faith and love and perseverance and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which we were called. And you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate. Men, we need to be the man of God. Sometimes we have to say no to those we love. Sometimes we have to make hard decisions. But our service to God is more important than any of those things. And we're going to look at some other scriptures that tell us that same message. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Starting in verse 13. It says, until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourselves and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourselves and for those who hear you. Men, we're teaching every day. We're teaching our wives. We're teaching our children. We're teaching our grandchildren. What are we teaching them? To be men of God? That faith comes above everything else? That our worship and our study of God's Word is more important than anything else? Ladies, let's look at a couple of scriptures. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Starting in verse 38, Jesus teaching. Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparation, and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Ladies, Jesus told you what's more important than anything else. Listening to his word, being a part of it, being absorbed in it, living it daily. Last year, when I spoke to you, the sermon was, are you listening to Jesus? We use some scriptures mostly in the New Testament about that. And the same thing applies today. Are you listening to Jesus? Listening to God's word? Or are you listening to the devil? So you can create up a new excuse. Who we listen to can be a problem. be a real serious problem. We cannot let anything, including our family, interfere with our service to God. Turn over to Matthew chapter 10. Verse 34, do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Who has found his life will lose it. And who has lost his life for my sake will find it. Godly service has its rewards. And we need to remember that with our decision making. And also there's some other subjects we're going to look at here just for a few moments. We can't let work interfere with our service. Now believe me, I know. I've been a shift worker. I've missed services because of work. I did not like it. It was never acceptable to me. And as an elder, when we have to say we're not having services, it hurts me deeply. It hurts me personally. I hope it hurts you too. But decisions have to be made that are tough sometimes. I could tell you my example. I'll use one. Well, I'll use a couple, and just in general. I've had to work shifts on Sunday. Pretty much all my working career toward the end, I was able to get straight days. But I've worshipped it. I think 3 or 4 different congregations in that time. I would stop by there on Sunday evening because that's where I could get to worship. But the specific entrance, I had a shift that I had to work a Sunday all day, 12 hours. So, and it was not here close to town. It was not on this side of town. It was on the far side of town. I tell my boss, I'm going to dock myself an hour with your permission every week, and I'm going to take that in my lunch hour and go and worship. And I did. I'm glad they allowed me to do that. I was surprised, actually. But they did allow me to do it. And you know, I didn't miss that money. I didn't miss that money at all. I'm not saying that to brag about myself. I'm just saying that whatever you have to do, you need to try to do. To make sure you put God first. Putting God first is not always easy. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Another scripture that I want to use tonight, or today, I'm usually preaching at night, is James chapter 4. Turn with me there. James chapter 4. Beginning in verse 13, he says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin." We have an obligation to work, yes. We have an obligation to support our families, yes. We have an obligation to the people that are our bosses that say, when they say you need to be here, we need to be there. But we have a greater obligation to God. As these verses explain, we need to plan our service to God around our work schedule. Sometimes it may mean missing a little sleep. Sometimes it may mean missing a family function. Sometimes it may mean, some difficult times. But we need to plan God's service first, work second. We need to get our priorities correct. Putting God first is not easy. It's not always the easiest thing to do, but it's the most important thing we can do. Next, we have an obligation to our fellow brethren. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. And I'm not teaching you any or telling you anything you haven't heard before. I'm just trying to give you a different perspective from it. Beginning in verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversary. The things that hinder us from worship, we need to work hard to overcome them. It's not always going to be easy. And you know, this time last year, life was good, wasn't it? Life was good. We never knew or expected what 2020 was going to be like. These are trying times. We've all been through a lot this year. But we can't use this situation or that situation as an excuse not to honor God. Some of us, I'm afraid, have developed some bad habits. Some of us have come up with excuses or reasons, whatever you want to call them, not to attend services. Sometimes it's necessary, and I understand that. And as we've asked, if you have any kind of illness or have been exposed, please don't come. We've really done a lot, we can to help eliminate that issue here. And it's not a combination of just not being here, it's a condemnation, of bad habits that some have developed. Bible study is important. It's an opportunity to learn about God and his dealings with his people. Again, in 2 Timothy, in Timothy, but it's in second book, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearer, but be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. The old King James should say, study to show yourself approved to God. You know. But be diligent in your service, which includes Bible study. Again, in 2 Timothy, this time in chapter 3. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for in training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The beauty of studying God's words together, singing praises to his name and exhorting and encouraging one another, and being thankful in prayer, give benefits that are more valuable than anything else we can do. Not only to you, but to you and me, but to those around us. So let's kind of draw this to a close. One of the things we talked about, men, be in charge of your household. Guide your family in the ways of God. Guide your family in Bible study. Guide your family in prayer. Guide your family in attendance. Don't be like Adam and blame somebody else for your failures. Ladies, be like Mary. Choose the good thing. Choose the thing choose listening to Jesus other than the devil like Eve did. As we begin a new year, every day, I want you to ask yourself these three questions. Don't you take this test every day, basically, is what I'm saying. Where are you Well, you know, I know I should have gone to Sunday night Bible study, but I was too busy watching TV. Or I had things to prepare for next week for work, and I couldn't get... Or I had family come over, and I didn't want to leave them. I think we've seen by Scriptures, those are excuses that God does not accept. Who told you it was okay to miss Bible study or worship? God didn't tell you that. That was the devil telling you that. What have you done? Have you made a bad decision? Have you listened to the devil? Are you listening to God? What will we say to God when He asks us these questions? Thank you for your attention. Thank you for the efforts that have been put forth today in our worship. I'm going to sing a song of encouragement. If you need our help and God's help in helping you with your service to God, if you need neglectful in your service, if you need our prayers, if you need our thoughts and encouragement, this is your time to ask for that. If you need to confess your sins and obey Him in baptism with repentant hearts and love for God that knows no bounds, this is your time. Come together while we stand and sing.